morning all. Now I did look back through the previous exhortations. I don't believe I've given this one before. And certainly for Tim and Kira, you're not going to have heard it before. So it's titled Walking with God, which is taken from Genesis chapter 17. It's actually Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. And it's a verse that we probably gloss over pretty quickly, but is a good starting point for looking at the theme of walking with God. So we read there, when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Now it seems a strange command to Abram at this stage, being commanded to walk with God. You know, he's 99 years old, and after all, one assumes he's been walking in God's ways almost his entire life, as God had called Abram back in Haran. So Abram went, as Yahweh had spoken to him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. We know, however, that Abram's faith wavered slightly from time to time. We think of his scheme in Egypt, pretending that Sarah was his sister, and the trouble that got them into. We think also of Abraham questioning God in Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abraham in a vision, saying, don't be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abraham said, Lord Yahweh, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and he will inherit my estate as Eliezer of Damascus. There seems to be some desperation here in Abraham, as although he knows he has been promised his seed, that his seed will inherit the whole earth, as yet he has no children, and he's not exactly youthful anymore. His reaction to being told that Sarah would also have a son demonstrate that his faith was being heavily tested. As we read in Genesis 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to him who is 100 years old? Will Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth? This reaction, I'm sure, would come back to haunt him continually as God named their son Isaac, meaning he laughs. This command, then, for Abraham to walk before God may well be a reminder or a call for Abraham to return to the trust and faith that he had when he was called from Haran and away he went. So as we look forward to a new year, where do we find ourselves on our walk? Are we walking with God or are we walking away from God? Do the words of the psalmist ring true from Psalm 19, verse 7? Yahweh's law is perfect, restoring the soul. Yahweh's testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Yahweh's precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. Yahweh's commandment is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. Yahweh's ordinances are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the extract of the honeycomb. Elsewhere in Scripture, we have a number of other examples of those who walked with God. We can start back at the very beginning with Adam, who very literally walked with God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Both of their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of Yahweh God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh God among the trees of the garden. It is not too hard to imagine that prior to this point, Adam and Eve had freely walked with God in the garden, as there is no reason to suppose that God did not associate with man at this point, as it was sinful man who God cannot look on. From this point on, God would no longer literally walk with mankind, and mankind was driven from the garden, and it was guarded by a flaming sword wielded by the cherubim. And sadly, from this point on, there are very few men who are said to figuratively walk with God. The first of these is Enoch, who was the seventh generation of men. There is little that we can glean from Genesis about Enoch, as there are merely five verses in the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he became the father of Methuselah 300 years and became the father of sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11 reveals little else about his life, but he does get a mention. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he wouldn't see death, and he was not found because God translated him. For he has had testimony given to him that before his translation he had been well-pleasing to God. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. From this, we know that Enoch was a faithful man, and we are able to infer that he kept himself separate from the depravity around him that resulted in the flood. Noah is another of those that are said to have walked with God. The depravity that Enoch had kept himself from had now reached the climax, to which God said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the ground, man along with animals, creeping things and birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found favor in Yahweh's eyes. This is the history of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. Noah walked with God. We know how strong Noah's faith was, commencing the building of the ark 120 years before it was required, and before he even had the children. We also know that God communicated with Noah in telling him how to make the ark. It would seem that a major thing of walking with God is communication. Do we listen to what God is telling us? Are we listening at all? Are we receptive to the messages of the Scripture which Almighty God has revealed to us in these last days? Abraham wasn't the only man of the time who communicated with God directly. We read in Genesis 48 in the words of Jacob that his father as well as his grandfather worked with God. He blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." In this verse, we can tie together the two strands from Genesis chapter 17. There is a talk of walking with God and talk of entering into the promises which were made to Abraham shortly after he had been told to walk with God. It was only a few generations on from the two lads that God makes similar promises to the first generation of those who inhabited the land which was promised to Abraham. Leviticus chapter 26. "You shall make for yourselves no idols. Neither shall you raise up an engraved image or pillar, neither shall you place any figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am Yahweh your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and no one will make you afraid, and I will remove evil animals out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will have respect for you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will establish my covenant with you. You shall eat old store long kept. You shall move out the old because of the new. I will set my tent among you, and my soul won't abhor you. I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you will be my people. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves, and I have broken the bars of your yoke, and made you go upright. These blessings of the land would be manifest to Abraham's descendants if they obeyed the commandments of God, and these blessings would also enable God to walk among them in the same way as those to whom the promises were originally given. The opposite applied to them if they disobeyed these commandments. Verse 27, if you, in spite of this, won't listen to me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in wrath, and I also will chastise you 7 times for your sins. Individually, however, we are exhorted to walk in the ways of their father Abraham, not his descendants. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. He received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision, that he might be the father of all who believe, though they be an uncircumcision, that righteousness might also be accounted to them. The father of circumcision to those who are not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had in uncircumcision. To walk in the steps of Abraham is to walk with God. To help us in the right path, God has provided a saviour so that we have footsteps to walk in, as Paul tells the Ephesians in chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we would walk in them. It is Christ, who we remember now, that enables us to partake in the promises made to Abraham. Therefore, remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that you were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are made near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in the flesh the hostility, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man of the two, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, having killed the hostility thereby. He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in on the Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit.